Today on Chesapeake Shores, we talk about parental advice and sibling rivalry. Here we go. Let's do it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Chesapeake Shores. We are here doing AfterBuzz TV's Chesapeake Shores After Show Season 3, Episode 2, The Way We Were. I'm really excited to talk about this, as we all are. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. Joining me, we have a full panel today. Ladies, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Carlina Will.
What's up, guys? I'm Tay Alexandria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Julana Dizon.
Excellent. And Tay, welcome to the panel.
Thank you.
Are new.
Thank you.
Yes, so before we get into it, I want to just know, how did you come about Chesapeake Shores, and what is it about the show that you love?
Love the family values of the show. This is something that I value with myself and my own family, so I definitely relate to it.
Awesome.
Love it so much.
Yeah, we do too, and I'm sure you pretty much reiterate what we said last week of why we love the show, lot of family values. So let's get into it. Of course, we're going to talk all about Bree, Simon coming back into her life, Jess, and she finally gets to hear from David. Mm-hmm. That only took 3 days. Connor's having some problems with Danielle. Abby and Trace, they're working out there, not to say issues, but they're just so great together. And of course, Mick and Thomas and Robin in the mix with that. Whoever Robin is, we'll get to it. Quick thoughts. Carlina, let's start with you.
Okay. Oh, gosh. You know, I love Connor, you're great, but he has to listen to his brother. So automatically, there was just so much going on in this episode. Just between, you know, Bree and Jess being upset. I want them to fix that. And then, you know, David's still gone. So there's just a lot of questions during this episode that I'm so excited to, like, just dig into.
Yeah. Tay, what are your thoughts?
Same. I just feel like there's a lot of shoot the messenger situations, you know, between Connor and Kevin, and we have between Mick and Thomas. And of course, you know, the adorable relationship between, with David finally reaching out to Jess. So glad that happened, because I love them together. I just need him to come back. Come back.
Yeah. Angela.
My favorite part of this episode was the whole Trace and Abby, and him almost getting an opportunity to go to Stagecoach. Mm-hmm. And then also, Jess, I know you said it was only 3 days since she got the letter, but that seems like an eternity. 3 days can feel like forever. So I totally related to her and her, like, anxiousness.
Especially in today's technology. And we'll definitely get to Jess, but, I mean, who writes letters anymore? Not going to lie.
Social media.
I know. Or hello text.
Right.
That's even faster.
Right.
All right, so let's get into Bree first. So Bree goes to Baltimore with Kevin, and she's seeing her first play being, you know, performed in front. And she runs into Simon. How excited are we to see Simon back? Were any of you, like, really happy that he returned?
I was surprised, too.
Yeah. Definitely surprised.
I was so excited because I love his accent. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So he is just so classy. He understands Bree very well. And, you know, he got the end of her play.
Yeah.
Which most people didn't get.
Right.
Kevin didn't get it.
Kevin didn't understand it.
No.
Symbolism.
So to find a guy that gets you and shares your passion, I love this couple and love your accent.
That's goals right there.
Yes.
It's so goals. Yeah. Relationship goals, hashtag.
The man that gets you.
Yes.
Right. And he's so literary, too. And I love every time they're talking together, it's always in literary metaphors. Mm-hmm. So it's like only writers would understand this conversation.
Yeah.
And I kind of love it. Or at least bookworms, which I am a self-proclaimed bookworm. So, like, I loved how they spoke to each other, because there is some level where they just understand each other and no one else does.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I really
it's like their
that.
Own code in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's cute when they were talking about their relationship in book terms and, like, chapters and, well, does this story have a happy ending?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think it does? I don't know.
All right. Yeah, so Simon also comes back to Chesapeake Shores. I mean, he, not to say chasing her, but he's going to see her, and I find that very interesting. But what were your thoughts of the moments when they were together in the wordplay and just, like, really kind of rekindling their past romance? I mean, they did kiss and make out a few times in the first season, but, like, their past relationship and rekindling that.
Rekindling is always just like a potentially scary situation, yeah, in a way. Like, we don't know which way it's going to go. I personally don't like the fact that he's there. I just want him or her to go with a new relationship. I'm just saying.
Why do you not like this? Is it, do you not like Simon, or do you not like them together?
I love Simon together. I love them together. It's just more so... let me think about that a little bit more, actually.
Okay. Do you two feel the same way?
No. I love you, Simon. Simon, you're fantastic. I have family in England. We understand each other.
I'm more so like team, like Jess. We'll get into her later. I'm just more so just that couple more so. Okay. I don't know why. There's just some reason. It's just
not
like feeling, I like them more. Not feeling
Simon.
It. They have this little awkward thing. I love Simon. It's just they have a little awkward thing going on. I just want to see what happens.
I'm kind of in the middle. I definitely do think that they're awkward, but it's like a cute, nerdy awkward that they're they're both that way. And like you said, they both are super into books and writing, and it's hard to find somebody that's into that with you.
Marissa, I have a question for you.
Oh.
Do you think that Simon learned his lesson with the mistake with Bree?
I think he definitely realizes his mistakes, and he's acknowledging it, because he also said, I'd like a, what was the line, a do-over, or like a second chance at redoing it, a redemption in a way. So he definitely knows what he did wrong, and he's still interested in Bree. And if a man wasn't interested in you, he wouldn't track you down back to your hometown.
Yep.
So he's definitely wants to get back with Bree. They almost kissed in this episode. And there was a moment when they were on the street, and they were, like, talking, getting slower, slowly closer together, and then of course, Jess
ruined it. Bam! Ruined.
It's like, that's such a Hallmark moment where you think they're gonna kiss, and then they actually get...
Nope, just kidding.
Nope.
And I totally love how he called her whole play out, too, with the texting and the calling around and turning her phone off. She was like, I didn't do that.
Have you ever done that before?
I've never turned off my phone, but I've maybe like strategically planned out some texts or some non-text, or some Insta stories, whatnot.
Yeah. I don't know. I like them together. I do wish and hope that Simon still sticks around for at least a few more episodes. If it doesn't work out, I just want to see how it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. Not to say, one and done. No, they need to work it out, because there's still chemistry there. There's still understanding between those two. And the literary metaphors, I love to add a few more chapters. The story does continue. Yes, it does.
Definitely.
All right, that kind of brings us into Jess and her story with David. Apparently, she finally hears from David after 3 long days. It was a letter. He didn't have any connection, apparently, any... internet, cell service, whatever. That's still not a good excuse. You go to your local Wi-Fi place, or go to a local Starbucks and get some Wi-Fi.
Right, or an internet shop.
Right.
I mean, Wi-Fi is available everywhere, so I don't think that's a good excuse on David, but we do get a letter and a word from David. She's all excited. Your thoughts of this?
At least it was something. You know, like, if he goes longer than, honestly, 12 hours is too long, but 3 days, I get it. After you've been talking for, like, consistently, all of a sudden, like, what happened?
Every 2 hours?
Every, like, 2 seconds, you know?
But, I mean, the fact that he took the time to write a letter and send it for a boy, I feel like that's a huge thing. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And you guys also have to remember that his dad was sick. So that's the whole reason he had to, like, go back. So, you know, you're dealing with family. You're not always going to be by your phone. So give the guy a break. You know, if he needs 3 days to take care of his family, he needs 3 days. But he redeemed himself with a written letter signed from David with probably, I bet you had like kitchen stains on it because he was cooking.
I want to know what it said.
I do. No, really. I do too.
Only the fact that we know that it was from David and he finally reached out to her after 3 long days. In technology world, that is forever. But it's interesting that I did love how David is still a through line between Jess and Bree, because, you know, they both were interested in David in the first season. But now but it kind of helps bring them closer together, because with Bree's book, they weren't really talking. But you can still tell that Jess still wanted to talk to Bree, but right. that two-way conversation with Connor mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Simon and also about David. Like, they're missing that girl time
they
conversation.
Miss it. Mm-hmm. They definitely miss it. She was, like, listening in by the fireplace, like, looking up, and, like, not really doing what she was doing. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, that two-way conversation was hilarious. It's like, I ran into Simon. I did love that, and especially from Connor, which is, like, so...
Yeah.
Random person to have advice from.
But he's good, though. He's a good little brother. Like, so, like, we didn't know that.
He tried.
You think he's a good brother?
Why?
Yeah, like, I'm
face?
Like...
You think... Why? Like, yeah.
That was listen, his. That was his one listen? Moment. That was his
he
moment.
He might have more. Hopefully. I hope he does.
I think Connor has some...
He has it in him.
Some moments. Some not-so-great moments mm-hmm. and some good moments. He, there's a balance between Connor. Yeah. We'll get to Connor later. But, yeah, I did love how finally this letter from David got Jess to actually talk to Bree. Just a little bit.
I was worried she was going to
have
a
meltdown.
I'm
still mad at you. But, you owe me, though.
Yeah.
I'm mad at you, but I have really exciting news to share.
Right. So, all right. Anything else about, you know, Jess and David other than the fact that they're going to Maine?
I'm excited because I want to see like what happens in Maine, and Jess is meeting his family for the first this rich family we've all been talking about, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
That is a huge step.
Right?
That's
like I want to see what is his
what
background.
Kind of treatment is she gonna get?
Didn't he mention it?
Scandalous.
Yeah. Or do you think David's family's gonna like Jess?
Nope.
Are you gonna approve of Jess?
Nope.
I guess it depends how if they're stuck up at all.
Yeah. That could be a factor.
I don't know.
Stuck up factor. That could be it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a family of wealth and money. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm guessing also power along with that. So I don't know if they're going to go for Jess. That's in future episodes.
Right.
Hopefully. But yeah, this book, also with Bree's book, just to bring it back a little bit to Bree because they all do tie together. Bree and Jess and Abby. Abby's not reading Bree's book. And Abby seemed like she was kind of okay with it, and she obviously didn't overreact like Jess did, but it made her self-doubt a little bit, or self-reflect at least. It's like, does she run away? Is she the Fiona in the character? Do you think that?
I feel like it's more, that whole manuscript is like a full, like a sub, like how what Simon said is kind of like a subconscious. Like, she didn't mean to write it. However, it could have came across that, and that's how they could actually portray the heroine family members like that.
Yeah, I think all the characters have little subtle traits of her family, because it's like she said, and everybody always says in real life, you write about what you know, and that's what she knows. So whether she was trying to or not, it's going to come out seeming that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy that, you know, they're starting to talk again as sisters. That's really what I'm happy about. I think you guys covered the book part.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, so before we move on to Connor and stuff, thank you, everyone, who tunes in every week on iTunes and YouTube. Also in the live chat, and you guys are great on YouTube, but you know what else you can do for us on YouTube?
I'm going to tell you. Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows, as you know, for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans than we do here at AfterBuzz. But we need your help. So we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help us here at AfterBuzz continue to grow. And don't be worried about those pesky notifications, because you can opt out. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. If you let us know that you did this in the comments, we'll thank you personally on air. And for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk shows.
Yes, thank you, fans. Thank you, Chessies. And speaking of Chessies, we have some fans in the live chat. You want to shout some out, Carlina?
Yes.
She's already laughing.
Oh,
uh-oh.
My gosh. My favorite is at Ivan Soto said, don't move on to Connor. He sucks eggs.
Oh, come on. We have to talk about Connor.
We do, because that's what we're about to talk about, Ivan. So be ready.
Thank you, everyone who tunes in, despite what topics you like we talk about or not, of course. And a shout out to Lisa. I know you're watching and you're also at work, so don't get in trouble. world, but we appreciate your dedication. Here we go. Let's getting into Connor. I loved how he was kind of, like, involved with everybody's storyline in this episode, that he had some advice, some good advice, some bad advice. But interesting enough, his own love life with Danielle, it's not going too well. Kevin oversees Danielle with a man outside of a restaurant in Baltimore. Ooh, do you think Danielle's cheating on him?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. All signs.
She was so bored at that double date. Mm-hmm.
She was.
Not interested at all, sitting there, hardly giving answers.
Kevin picked it up, definitely.
Yeah, and Kevin knew she was lying, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I haven't been out of the office before 10, or like after 10, what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. After 10 p.m., ooh, straight up lies.
And even when he called her, it's like excuse after excuse after excuse. I'm like, girl, at least if you're going to lie, at least come up with something different.
Right.
Why don't you just break up with him? Just break up with him. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. But, you know, my question is, like, did you ever really like Danielle's character?
I know, no.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. Bye.
Bye. I
mean, no offense to the actress or anyone, whatever, but, like, she was kind of, like, on, off, and hot and cold in the first season. Like, we didn't really know what the relationship was. It was never really established, and it now seems like they were dating. They were a couple, but now she could be potentially cheating. But it was only a kiss on the cheek, so...
But still,
is that enough to say that she's cheating on him?
I don't kiss boys on the cheek, even if they're, like, my friend.
Exactly. Mm-mm. Exactly. That's too much.
Okay.
And I was going to think maybe, you know, I was like, oh, what if it's her brother? But remember, during the lunch, they were like, what about your family stories? And she's like, I don't talk to my brother. Yeah, that's when I was like, oh, she's cheating. Because first I thought it was her brother.
It's not a relative.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't know. Like, you know, I kiss my brother on the cheek. He's like, hi, you know, like we're saying hello. So that's what I thought. But then when she confirmed that, I was like, nope, not her brother.
Right. Yeah. I watched this episode a couple times. And the second time around when I saw her kissing, she seemed so happy, like more happy with this guy on the street than she was with Connor in all the times we've seen her.
It's a mixture of that and then just like the everybody picking it up and all her excuses. It's just no, she got to go.
Yeah.
She got to go.
I think. So who do you think is going to break up first? Danielle's going to break up with Connor, or Connor's going to do it?
Danielle.
I say Danielle, too. Mm-hmm. I definitely say Danielle.
I think Connor likes her so much that he won't think of that as an option.
He's in such denial right
now. Tunnel vision, in a way.
Yeah, because he's even calling her, trying to set up dates and whatnot, and just, like, does not believe it.
But you know what? He gets so angry when it's brought up to him. Mm-hmm. And part of me makes... me think that sometimes when people get really angry, it's because they know there's a little bit of truth there, or he's felt it a little bit, but you don't ever want somebody to tell you that, even if it's your brother.
Right. What are your thoughts of Kevin actually telling Connor what he saw? Do you think that was good on Kevin?
Yeah. That was a shoot the messenger situation I was talking about.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. He didn't want to hear it. And I get it, because he really likes her, but, you know, sometimes you got to hear the dirty, the bad, the ugly.
Well, I think Kevin was being a good brother in
this
world.
He was, yeah.
A good brother. Yeah, it's like, I think that's also first rule of brotherhood, second rule, bro code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so I think it was good on Kevin to tell him the truth. It's just sad that how Connor reacts. Because you did mention, like, angry. But that's how Connor is. He reacts to a lot of things angry.
Like, everything. Yeah. Angry.
He has an anger issue. He needs to work on that. But he's also young.
Marissa, do you think Kevin should have told Connor sooner, like, before the lunch?
Not yet. Not yet. Okay. I mean, I think because... I think this was the only time that Kevin and Connor were actually alone together. So, yeah. I mean, I don't think that would be a conversation you say over a phone call. And you don't obviously say it before you're going to meet with the whole group either. I think it's timing of the situation.
Okay.
So, no. You should not have told Connor before that date, that lunch date, double date thing. But I think it's good on Kevin that he actually does say something. Because a bad brother would say nothing.
Connor will get over it. He'll get over it.
Yeah.
Like Kevin saying it.
Will he?
Because he'll realize it later, like, okay, yeah, you were, maybe, like, you were right. About the situation, maybe.
Yeah, once he finds out that it's true.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. But You know what? If Danielle leaves, it won't be the end of the world. Sorry.
What if Danielle denies it? And then, like, that would just make Connor go after Kevin. Like, that would not be pretty.
Yeah, but that also doesn't shape Danielle up to be a great person either.
Makes it worse. She,
yeah, it's like, if we know she's lying, then why stay on the show? That's not, to have a person of such immoral character and moral values, like, that's not someone we want to keep watching.
That's true.
Just in a television stance alone. She needs to go. Bottom line.
Final answer.
Bottom line. Final answer. Danielle, get out of here. But a couple we do love. Abby and Trace.
Yay.
Wow. We love Abby and Trace. Okay, so I do love this. The whole running theme this whole episode is just the past and how it affects your present and your potential future. So Abby's past comes to not necessarily bites her, but it does creep up with this letter that she wrote to Trace, like, right before she got engaged to Wes. All her feelings, she doesn't remember what she wrote, but she remembers how she feels. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts of this and how she stole it back. You could say stole.
In a way,
she did hide that. she took it back from Trace. But she was, like, contemplating whether she should tell Trace or not. Was this a good idea?
I wanted her to open it.
I wanted to read it, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted her to open it because if I'm a little upset that Trace didn't open it, but he said he saw her with Wes and he just wanted her to be happy, which is, like, the perfect answer. But for me, I'd be like, listen, I know you're with somebody else, but I still want to know what you sent me. Because maybe he could have saved, maybe Abby sent him that letter as a cry for help. Like, I really want to be with you. I feel like this is moving fast with this guy. But we won't never know because he burned it. So.
Maybe he could have pulled a run down the aisle. And
I object. That's what I'm saying.
That would have been great.
They could have saved the relationship actually a long time ago, but I'm actually kind of glad he threw it in the fireplace only because I kind of want them to move forward. I need her to just kind of just, she spent the whole episode like, should I, but I want it, why doesn't he open it? No, like, let it be in the now and just move forward with the relationship.
That's so
in the past.
Because when I was watching that episode and that part of the episode, I was literally thinking, she needs to read that book, The Power of Now. You know,
right.
You just everything in
I
the
was
past,
still thinking that.
And you just deal with Eckhart what's in
Tolle.
Front of you.
Yes.
So I think throwing it in the fireplace was the right move also. I'm really happy that he did that.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thrilled because you do not want to open that letter. You do not want to open that can of worms.
And for what?
It's old emotions. Like, leave it in the past.
It was.
You know?
Because even the past with Wes didn't work out either. So what good and what difference would it have made?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Would you have opened it?
No. I would have thrown it in the fire, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have opened it.
I would have opened it, and I would have been like, why didn't you run down the aisle for me?
True.
Now I have to deal with this dude every week.
That sounds like a notebook. Like,
we got to exchange kids. I would have opened it.
Yeah, that's just, it's a can of worms.
So yeah.
I'm glad that they never opened it.
You're right. It would have just been upsetting.
Yeah. And plus, she was younger and more emotional when she read that.
Mm-hmm.
Less worldly experienced. Mm-hmm. So who knows what kind of things were on that letter.
There's a whole bunch of like, what ifs. Like, what if. Like, well, it didn't happen. So let's just move on.
Yeah, but
agreed.
It wouldn't have made it any difference.
Right.
So I'm glad they burned it. And also, I thought the moment when they were going through all of Trace's personal items, I thought that was cute. The Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
I'm like, aw, you couldn't take that off in high school. I was like, oh, yeah, Letterman jackets.
Even though she used that to lie about it, but, I mean, hey.
Right. Letterman jackets were, like, staples of high school. Especially, you know, with girlfriends, boyfriends, you always, you know, give a Letterman jacket. Carly, what's that look for?
Because everybody in the chat is agreeing with me that to open the letter. Thank you, Lisa, Ivan, Chris.
Interesting.
I mean, that's the nosy in me, but at the same time, about life. Like, how do I just move on?
Yeah, move on.
Stop it.
Live in the present.
I have my people online. Thank you, guys.
We're the people that, you know, they're on my side.
So I'm on your side.
Yeah, there the hosts. Our co-hosts are on your side.
Thank you, Jelena.
Okay. Thank you, fans. You see, it's good to have different opinions.
She's sitting over here looking all smug, like, I'm right.
No, we're different. All right, that's what makes it interesting. Okay, so your thoughts of this new song that we get from Trace now singing to Abby, a more updated song about their lives. It took 15 years for us to be together. That's literally the lyrics. It took 15 years to fill this book.
See, if he would have opened the letter, he wouldn't have had that song.
Whole different lyrics.
The song was beautiful, and she looked like she enjoyed it. I don't even know if Abby sings, but I want to see a duet between them. That would be so cute. That would be adorable.
That would
really, really
be adorable.
So cute. Yeah. That's what I'm waiting for.
I'd be for it.
Hint, hint.
Writers, get on that.
Okay.
I'm throwing out suggestions here.
Yeah, suggestion box.
Throwing that in there. Yeah, so we do have a new song, so hopefully that can be available sometime soon for
all of us. I love his voice.
Yeah, he's such a great singer. And a great guitarist. Love it. Love it. I enjoyed it. And then, so moving on more into just Trace and his personal life that's going on. So Donovan Wiley is still in town and offers him the Stagecoach gig, which is only 2 days. He has to make a decision to go right now, get on a jet, go perform, or stay in Chesapeake Shores. What are your thoughts that Trace turned it down? Were you surprised?
I think he should have done it.
He definitely should have done it.
Only 2 days. And Stagecoach is like the biggest
country
music festival.
Really big.
I really think he should have done it.
It wouldn't have killed him to be away for
2 days.
Just for that.
Like, it's just especially the 2 days. But, I mean, overall, I think he should go regardless. But, I mean, it's not my business, though.
It would have been a good warm-up for going away on a tour, maybe.
Yeah. Carlina?
Okay. So, I definitely think he should go. He should have gone, but with Abby and her being paranoid about that letter, I think if he would have went, it would not have been good for their relationship. Because she would have opened that letter while he was gone and then probably showed up at Stagecoach and made a scene.
Yeah, but that's a whole insecurity problem. And then there'll be a whole like resentment thing that'll happen, you know?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm glad he didn't go, because it was just going to open up a big old can of worms that he didn't even know was sitting there until they were sitting by the fire. So
yeah, that would have been like a trifecta of a lot of different things. I can understand that. I think just from like a work wise as a musician, 2 days is nothing.
Right.
Stagecoach is a humongous platform, and it's one of the only country festivals that's out here on the West Coast. Trust me, I know, I'm a country fan, and there's really no country out here, so yeah. I think it would have been great exposure for him as a musician. 2 days is not a lot. If it was a 2-week type of gig, then yeah, he should have questioned it a little bit more. That's harder to plan, but at 2 days, he could have done it. But he had to still be in Chesapeake Shores to be with Abby. Work out their past.
Yep.
But other than that, I liked the moment with Trace and his dad, though, with the baseball cards, because those two have not had the best relationship in the past seasons. What are your thoughts of this moment, this father-son moment?
A cherishable moment.
The breaking point, like olive branch-ish type of moment that I love. It was cute. It was adorable.
Yeah, so cute. Yeah, the baseball. It's like the reason why you collect baseball cards is so we had something to talk about.
Aww. Manly, sporty things.
Yeah. That was sweet. I mean, it's good to finally see Trace and his father like be civil with each other, talk to each other like a regular father and son should, and it's not contentious.
Yeah.
So it's healthy. It's actually healthy. I like it. So let us know if you also enjoy it too. All you fans who are listening, watching to us, we told you how to subscribe to us on YouTube, but you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate, comment, give us 5 stars and review there. And if you do rate and comment there, we'll shout you out as well. And because the off-season, I'll just let you know some behind-the-scenes info. We actually split our RSS feed, so all the ratings and stuff got reset. So we need new ratings and new comments from y'all. So, yeah, let us know how much you love Chesapeake Shores and how much you love this panel.
There
you go. iTunes, AfterBuzz TV, Chesapeake Shores. All right, anything else before we move on to Mick? Mick gets a new boat. Well, technically, it's an old boat. So I mentioned it in episode 1 that he question mark, inherits a boat, or he at least gets a boat from a guy named James Nelson. He has to pick it up. It's called the Arabesque. And he gets a letter, never forget what's important in life. First of all, who do you think this James Nelson guy is?
You don't know mystery.
Anything about him.
Nada.
Who leaves a boat?
A rusty one.
No, it wasn't rusty when he left just, like, it.
I know.
But who leaves a boat? I mean, they had to be somewhat close, whether it be a relative or a friend, to leave a boat. An entire boat.
Maybe somebody he knew really well a long time ago, like a mentor or a best friend. Someone he was really close with, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I like how this came into play sort of at the right time, when he's trying to reconnect with his family and everything, and this seems like, oh, now we have a boat. We can fix it up, and then we can go out on the boat as a family.
Yeah, as a family. All right, so Mick goes, picks up this boat, and he comes back into town. Well, he's actually, you know, working on it. And, of course, he runs into his brother, Thomas. They have a very contentious relationship. All these low-blow jabs and comments at each other.
He's
like, you are grown men. Come on. You're the parental figures, and we're supposed to look towards you for parental advice on how do you treat each other as siblings. I question everything when we see Mick and Thomas together. Just how they treat each other, it's just appalling. For adults.
That moment at the cafe was, like, a bit much. Like, the back and forth, him just grilling his wife. Like, come on, Mick.
Yeah.
Spouses are off limits. He didn't talk about Megan like that. Like, give him a break. You know what I mean? Like, Robin stayed. I will give that. Robin stayed and stuck it out. Megan ran. So, Mick should have backed off a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. They were together 30 years. You can't say the same for Mick and Megan.
Mick.
Reading you, Mick. Do you feel the same way? Questions.
I don't know. That's a hard question. I really have to think about that one.
We see Robin come in back in. We've never seen Robin, nor this character. She's apparently good friends with Megan and Mick and Thomas. So, like, they all know each other. They are, like, an old foursome. But Nell also doesn't really approve of Robin. Makes me question who the Robin character is and what she's done to Thomas.
I was going to say, she doesn't seem liked by a lot. When Gran, I call it Gran, just because everybody calls her Gran. She's so adorable. But yeah, she doesn't seem liked at all. So I'm interested to know her story, like, later.
Yeah.
In the season.
Do you think we'll get that storyline?
I think we're gonna get it.
I hope maybe so. Maybe not, like, within maybe, like, next two, maybe, like, definitely 5, 6.
Yeah. And I did pick up on when Gran...
Thank you.
...said that she didn't have a problem with Robin, but... As a mom, she's always thinking about her kid, and she never felt like Robin had Thomas's best interest or loved him as much as he should be loved, you know, and that's something you have to think about as a parent. And that was her only reason for not really liking her, I think.
Like a motherly instinct in a way that she had never received.
Like, as a woman, she's fine, but not for my son.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm just upset with Graham because you welcomed Megan back with no problem. But Robin, who stayed married to your son, you can't... You know, so I hope when they eventually dive into the storyline, what Robin did better be worse than what Megan did. Because if it's not as bad, I'm going to be upset.
Okay. But they are, in fairness, Megan and Robin are completely different people. They are completely different situations. And what happened in the relationships, totally different. So, like, I understand what Megan did in leaving the family is also not good. But Megan did always stay in contact with the family. Like, she maybe not with the siblings as much, but she always did stay in contact with Nell and all that. So, like, it feels like Megan and Nell have a better relationship than Nell and Robin does. But Nell did say the line, Nell/Gran. Nell did say the line that she was concerned about Robin because she never made Thomas happy. I mean, when Megan was there, I mean, we can imagine she made Mick happy, but Robin didn't make Thomas happy. And that, as a parent, is concerning.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And they could have been stuck in a marriage for 30 years, but he could have been miserable for those 30 years.
Exactly.
Right.
So it could not just like, put all the blame on Robin, but we just don't know this character of Robin enough to know what happened between Robin and Thomas.
I have a question for you guys. Do you guys think, like Robin said, she kind of said it at the cafe, do you guys think Meg kind of came back for Mick in, like, a rekindling type of way?
Yes.
I got caught that. I was like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I kind of sense that happening. That is a prediction. I'll say that later, but
it's
one of mine predictions.
Well, she did question, and I think all of us as just general audience and fans, we question whether she came back for Mick or the entire family.
True.
And she, Meg did say the line, it was like, hey, Abby came back, and then we all just kind of find our way back to Chesapeake Shores at the same time. And I was like, yeah, because we saw it. We saw all of them move back literally at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that story, I believe, more than what maybe with the added bonus of maybe getting back together with Mick. We'll see.
True. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That's a big question mark, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else about this episode?
I love what Chris said in the chat. Shout out to Chris Bueno. I think Megan's reasons will shed quite a bit of light on more than just herself and her shortcomings in the eyes of any of the other characters.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Very nice, Chris. Kudos. I approve, too. Yeah. But with all these, you know, back and forth jabs at each other, you know, Mick and Thomas, I think they're going to be fine. Like, they have a very contentious relationship, but when we saw them together at the boat at the end of the episode, you can tell there's some level of understanding between these two. That they can, there's some hope for civility.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. All right, so we have a new special segment for everyone. It's going to be fun. We're going to be doing this every week as much as we can. It's going to be called See You at the Shore, where we're going to discuss a certain shoreline / beach. We're going to focus on one beach every single week, and it's going to give you some tidbits, some history facts, some tourist facts about it, and I thought it would be cool, because it goes along with the lines of Chesapeake Shores, see you at the shore, meet you at the shore, you know, so we're going to talk about shores. For this shore, we're going to talk about the Qualicum Beach, which is where the show is actually filmed, Chesapeake Shores, so I believe you two have more information on that.
It is actually in Vancouver Island in British Columbia in Canada. Have you guys ever been over there?
I have been to Vancouver, not Vancouver Island.
I've been to Canada, but like the Quebec, so yeah.
Toronto. Yeah, I've never been. But it has a population of 8,943, which is like small for me. I'm just a city girl. I don't know.
That's like the size of my neighborhood.
Yeah,
that's big for me.
I guess for like a Zen moment like this, but I guess. It has the oldest average population in Canada and a median age of 60.9 in 2006.
Ooh.
And a little history. Qualicum comes from a Penthalic language term that means where the dog salmon run. Have you guys heard of a dog salmon? I haven't. I don't know.
I haven't heard of that.
That's interesting.
AKA chum salmon. Have you heard of chum salmon? Maybe
yes,
that's...
I have heard
okay,
of chum.
Okay, so that's what, like, AKA dog. Salmon.
Got it.
In 1864, the botanist and explorer Robert Brown led the Vancouver Island exploring expedition through the area. He found the area deserted as a result of the smallpox epidemic in 1862.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's how we found the beach.
Right.
Here we go.
As far as tourism go, wine, my fave, from wine to beer. Newbie to seasoned palate, you'll enjoy the Parksville Uncorked. That is the name of a winery. You can do tastings, featured wine dinners, bubbly brunches, wine-inspired spa treatments, and local tours. I would actually want to go myself.
I love wine.
And for the brewery, right?
I love wine.
I love wine.
I'll go there
Definitely go for that reason.
Yes.
And for the breeze of the world, there is a bookstore called Mulberry Bush Bookstore. It is mainly bargain books.
Nice.
Actually.
Ooh, cool.
So
for the book lovers.
For the
like
book lovers, you know, all the breeze in the world.
You can have your book and your wine on the beach. That sounds great.
So
that
does.
Perfect. Perfection. Why are we not there already?
Right now. We need to get invited.
Please, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Tay, for that. So that's some awesome, cool information about Qualicum Beach. That's where this actual show is filmed. So, yes, every week we'll cover a different shore beach that's, you know, we find interesting. They're a cool place to, you know, check out. And if you guys actually have been to Qualicum Beach, or if you do actually live there, send us some pictures and stuff, and we can show them on the show.
Yes.
And see how beautiful, according to these pictures, it looks. We would love it.
You know what I'm interested to see? as we explore different shores is the median age of the population, because I'm from Sarasota in Florida, and our median age is also very old, probably 60 or 70.
Interesting.
And I wonder if that's like a beach shore city thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are retiring.
I'm sure. Yeah, of course. They're retiring, so they want to go sit at the beach.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Let's... So, that'll be in our special segment every single week. I hope you guys enjoyed that. So, let's get to a little bit of news then, shall we?
Yeah. After Buzz TV
News. All right, Carlina, what do you have for us?
Okay, so Megan Ory did a Facebook interview that on the Hallmark Channel for Chesapeake Shores, and she's talking about what we can kind of expect for this season. So I'm really excited. Okay, so she said Abby's pretty much dealing with having to be there more for her kids and her family, and that she drinks a lot of coffee this season. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
I have noticed that.
That's always been a running joke from season one. Like, Brie and Abby are always stealing each other's coffee.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And so then she also talks about, you know, the girls bonding with Trace and maybe, like, Abby joining the tour. So I saw, like, some pictures of that. And ooh. I was like, wow, this is exciting, taking the relationship to the next level.
Definitely.
Abby traveling? Can you
but
imagine?
Is that healthy, though? Is that healthy?
Yes! Really?
I mean, I think it could be good so she can understand some of what Trace goes through in right, his musician life.
Not the whole time, though. I don't know. I just need my space for myself. Like, sometimes. Yeah. Like, it just may be, like, a couple days apart, but, like, the whole time. Mm. We'll see.
We'll see.
I would like it. I don't know.
Plus, she's got cowboy boots now, so she's ready to go.
Yes. And the girls do, too. The
girls have cowboy boots.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a cute family. Like, I'm already calling them family, even though they're not officially married, but they're basically family.
They're right? Family.
I like it. Anything else?
They're so cute. Okay, yes. And then for you, amazing O'Brien sister fan, she let us know that there will be another episode with all three of them bonding again.
Yes.
And she kind of teased a little bit, like, it's going to involve ice cream.
Yay.
Ooh.
I love ice cream plus the beach plus the wine in the book. Juliana, guys, we should all be there.
Seriously. It's girls' night.
I'm down.
Girls' night.
Fell down.
I love that. So, I mean, it's always great when those three are together because they do have great moments. And especially, mm-hmm. you know, the ice cream moments because we always get at least one ice cream scene every season. And we definitely need one this season. We haven't had one yet.
That must be great just as an actor. Okay, need ice cream
ice
for your
cream,
scene.
Ice cream, wine, coffee, yeah. Beach.
That sounds awful.
But never.
I'm looking forward to that. So, all right. Thanks, Carlina, for that.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's get into predictions then.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So, I have a lot of questions, mm-hmm. but what do you think is going to happen? Juliana, let's start with you.
Okay, my biggest prediction, which I am excited about actually, is the boat. And how we mentioned earlier, the two brothers, they are kind of bantering about fixing the boat. So I'm really hoping that this is something they're going to do and it's going to bring them closer.
Yes.
And be able to fix all their problems. Because men, you know, they need to like do something physical, I feel like, to solve. They can't just mm-hmm. talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Is that all?
Yep.
All right. That's it. Tay, what do you think?
I give it 2 more episodes. I think Connor and his dad will finally maybe mend the relationship, and it'll be something along the lines of what you said, like a manly thing that happens. Also, like I said earlier, Mick and Meg are going to rekindle. I really see that coming. I don't know. Maybe it could be like the end. It could go into like the next season, but I really see that coming.
Yeah. Okay. Carlina.
Brie and Simon are going to live happily ever after in England. No, I'm just kidding. I only took out the England part. That's a little bit of a stretch. We're staying in Chesapeake Shores, y'all.
Yes.
And then I really see Abby and Trace just continuing to bond. And I think, you know, with mm-hmm. them being on the road together, Trace might seal the deal this season.
Ooh.
Or at least propose something. Something.
I see that.
Right?
I want that.
Right? Okay. And then... my last one is I want it to work so bad because I really do like David and Jess, but I think that's her going to Maine is going to be the end of their relationship with the whole family. They're not going to like Jess. They're not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I kind of agree. All my
so team them
predictions are kind of relationship I think Mick and Megan, they might rekindle, or at least, like, bring up what happened in the past, and they can fully talk about it. Because every time we saw them try to talk about it, they could never finish the conversation. They always got angry or upset, and they could never fully get into it. So I think we're finally going to, like, talk about it, work out their issues, because it seems like no one really has an issue with Megan anymore. Like, her leaving is not really, I mean, emotionally, it might still be there in Bree's book once that comes to, you know, everyone's going to explode over that. Mm-hmm. But everyone is still, like, okay with Megan being there. Like, that doesn't seem like as big of an issue as it used to be. So I think Mick and Megan, yes, definitely rekindle. I think it's going to happen. Danielle, she's gone.
Out.
Bye, girl.
She gotta go.
Girl,
she gotta go.
Yeah. I would love if Bree.
I'm sorry.
Do you remember, like, that line? It's like, you are the weakest link.
You are such a the weakest link.
I think it'd be cool if Bree, like, helps Simon co-write a book. I would like to see that.
Cute.
That would be cute.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that. I didn't think of that.
Oh, yeah. Make sure that, like, settled up somewhere.
Yeah, let's write a book together.
Yes.
I totally would do that.
Yeah.
My boyfriend was a writer, too. And what? I think we're going to learn more about Robin. I don't think this is one episode. We're going to learn more about her background with Meg, Mick, and Thomas.
He's going to have some deep, dark secrets, I can tell.
Yeah.
Something's deep and dark in there. They need to come out.
They start a certain storyline with her, so we'll see what it actually turns out to be. But yeah, a lot of relationships. And Trace and Abby, they're going to be fine. I don't think they're going to get engaged this season.
What? You don't think so?
Not this season.
I did think it was too soon, Carolina, I would say. A little too soon. I want it to happen, though. I want it to happen.
Do you want season four and five?
Yeah.
No, I do.
You
no, gotta I,
spread
I
this
say,
relationship.
I just
out.
Want and it, I just want a ring.
Better be a big one, too.
Also, we gotta wait for him to do his career and get famous.
Yes.
Men don't like to settle down until they got their career
stuff going on.
That's true.
You know, they need to feel solid.
Yeah.
You have a point.
That's true.
Well, I feel like he's more team family anyway, so I don't know how long that's going to take.
I mean, he wants her.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. He has team family.
Yeah.
He gave up stage coach.
I know.
I just wouldn't know.
That's a pretty big Actually, when I heard that in the episode, I was like, stage coach?
Wrong with you. It's like Coachella.
Yeah. But I think if you wanted season four and five, you got to spread out this relationship. And I think an engagement in season three is a little too soon.
It'll happen.
It will eventually happen, just not now. We kind of just like them finally just being together. It's great. It's great. All right, thanks everyone for tuning in. You all are phenomenal. In the meantime, where can everyone keep following you?
You can find me on Instagram at Julana.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Tay Alexandria TV.
At Cooking with Carlina on Instagram.
And you can follow me everywhere at Serafini TV. You can follow all of us here. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. Keep rating, keep commenting, keep subscribing, keep watching our show. We have some special guests lined up. We won't say who, but that's just a tease for you to keep watching us in the future. Thanks, Chessies, and we'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.